I was sitting there and kept on hoping that there'd be that this was a dream and somebody else would be getting up to speak. And I mean that. I just want to say that I'm very thankful for God's people. And I really do wish somebody else was up here speaking. You know, there's a song that says that the Lord has begun his work of recreation in us. And I'm so thankful that there came the day when the Holy Spirit led me to repentance. And I cried out to God. And then he caused me to be born again. That's renewal. A new life, the old left behind. And then he led me on to, at that same time, there was regeneration taking place. And then, as you all know, he led us on to sanctification. But yet there's that growing, continually growing, and a daily renewal, a daily reviving, a daily restoring. And that's what I'd like to talk about. It tells us here in Habakkuk, in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, says a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shig-i-Ona. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Yes. We all know that when Jesus came, that there was a restoration taking place. The church, he came to establish the church, God's people. And then we know there was a falling away through the years. And then just recently, in the 1800s, D.S. Warner, God raised him up along with other men. And I believe that this applies to that. Revive their work in the midst of the years. Yes. And yet, now we have the Church of God here, reaching the end of time. And the Church of God is continually in the need of revival. We're all in the need of revival, of restoration, of being restored, of being refreshed. And I'm so thankful for that, that there is that hope, that there is that possibility among God's people. That we don't have to feel worn out and tired. Maybe our faith has dwindled. Maybe our hope feels like wasted, worn out. Our hope for lost souls, our hope for ourselves at times. But I'm thankful that it can be revived. God majors in restoration. And yet I know some people that they specialize in condemnation. Some people specialize in condemnation, but God majors in restoration. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful that even though the devil tries to overshadow us with the spirit of condemnation for others, for our brothers and sisters, maybe we don't feel they're reaching the mark, they're measuring up. But the Lord has shown me over and over again that we really don't know what's happening in the heart. Like underneath the soil when you plant a seed, we don't know what's happening there. It might seem like nothing is happening, but underneath the roots are going down and something is about to pop up, something beautiful, something wonderful. During our work in Juarez, Mexico, where we have now been laboring for about 5.5 years or more, many times after the first meeting, Lucinda and I are so worn out because we do part of the singing, the altar work, I preach, we cook. It seems like we're doing everything. And by the time we get through cleaning the apartment up, God's house, we just are in need of restoration, revival. We're just so worn out. And then we're still going to go preach in the market area, and now we're preaching in 2 other houses. By the time we get done and get home, it's been lately about 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning. That's Sunday night, Sunday, and then we're crossing back into the border again at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, after that first meeting, I just need to take a nap. And I tell everybody, we're going to take a nap. Some of the new saints go with us to the market area and preach into the other homes, which we praise the Lord for that. But I tell them, I need to take a nap. And I know they think, oh, you're so no fogey, you're so, I'm just 40, you're just 46, but you act like an old man. But I do need to be revived. So I take a nap. And sometimes I lay down and all of a sudden I fall asleep and I wake up 10 minutes later and I'm revived. I'm restored. And you know, the Bible tells us that there is a rest that remaineth that's been left for God's people, the Sabbath rest, and we can rest in that daily in Christ. And when we just rest and we don't have to be manipulating things, we don't have to be thinking about what's going to happen, what we're going to do, or how this person is going to change. We just pray the Lord and trust Him to do it. We're resting in Him. Yes. And we just like to take a nap in Him, spiritually speaking, and we're awakened, refreshed. Sometimes I wake up, spiritually speaking, after I've asked the Lord to revive me, just refreshed, and the hopelessness goes away and I get new hope. My doubts disappear and my faith is restored, and my joy that is kind of wilted has restored, and I just feel so joyful. I'm ready to get out there and preach the Word of God again, even if people don't respond the way I think that they should. And I'm so thankful, brothers and sisters, that like this verse says right here, revive thy work in the midst of years. He can do it. It's His work. It's not our work. We can ask Him to revive His work in the midst of years. You are all familiar. We're all familiar with this verse in Psalms 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And that's what I love about my Lord, that He just can change your attitude from one moment to the next. And just maybe we're down there, dragging down there, feeling discouraged, hopeless, tired of it all. And then we just trust in Him and He restores our soul and we're like up there again on the mountaintop. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe some of you have experienced that. Maybe during a song, maybe during prayer, maybe after somebody exhorting or after the message. It depends how the Lord does it. Amen. We all know about molting. Many animals go through molting. I was looking up in the encyclopedia about molting, and it says molting is the process an animal goes through in shedding its worn out hair, skin, or feathers. Think of that word, worn out. It stuck out to me, worn out. And you know, in these last days, the devil is seeking to wear out the saints. He's seeking to wear out the saints. But praise the Lord, we're not beyond being restored. Daily we're being renewed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for His name. Praise the Lord. It's the process of an animal, the process that an animal goes through in shedding off the doubts, shedding off the discouragement, shedding off the burdens, and on come the new feathers, the new hair. Our cats are shedding again. It's going to be winter soon. And in the summer, they look kind of real short hair, and now they're getting long hair again, and all the old hair is flying everywhere. But they feel so soft, and they're almost like they're brand new cats again. New cats. They've been restored. They've molted. They're shedding off the old hair, and they're putting on new hair. And you say, I wish I could. I'm shedding my hair, but it's not growing back. And I just wish I was more like those animals that could shed, and it grows back again. Praise the Lord. Caterpillars, I didn't know this, but they shed their skin up to 5 times. As they're growing, and then instead of the skin growing, they just shed it, and it gets more skin. And they fit into the new bodies, to put it that way. Birds shed their feathers once a year, and some up to 3 times a year. They replace their beraggled winter plumage. And they don't. Birds don't lose it all the same time. I always thought that when eagles lose their feathers, when they're going through molting, that they can't fly, but they can't fly. Because they don't lose all their feathers at one time. It's systematically. One area here and then the area next. And that's why they're still able to fly. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. The Lord is continually restoring us, reviving us. There's a renewing of the mind. We're going to be mentioning some of those verses there. Glory be to God. I'm so thankful. If you're feeling hopeless today, don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord. Rest in Him. Take that nap in Him. Trust in Him. Your hope can be restored, revived, refreshed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you really feeling discouraged today? Trust in the Lord. Take that little nap in Him. Rest in Him. And watch yourself get encouraged again. I'm just amazed from one moment to the next I can be so encouraged again. We can be so discouraged about some people we're working with, and next week I'm so encouraged about them again. I go, wow, what happened to me? How did I get so encouraged again? Just one little hope that I see in them, encouraged again with them, that the Lord can also restore them and bring them to where they ought to be. Praise the Lord. And you know, some birds shed their second time to be decked out for mating, for the mating season. The mating season, that's when they meet the one that they're going to be with. And you know, the Lord is causing us to shed a lot of things because he's getting us ready for that mating season when we will meet. We are the bride. He's the bridegroom. And you know, the birds, they have a dull plumage. And then when they molt that second time, they molt the first time because it's necessary. It's all worn out and they need to molt. But some birds molt the second time, and that's during the mating season to make themselves beautiful, and they get these beautiful colors come out. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord already with that wedding garment on because we've been putting off, shedding off anger and wrath and malice and jealousy and faithlessness and hopelessness. And we're going to be adorned like that beautiful bride. Spiritually, we are right now, brothers and sisters. I know we are. But on that day, it says that he's preparing his bride to present it to himself, you know, a bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Spotless. Amen. Thank the Lord. It says in that encyclopedia that I read that also, as you all know, there's a lot of things I hadn't thought about restoration in animals. The deer and the moose, you know, they shed their antlers and they grow new ones. I've seen sometimes people that have been working in the shop and they cut off a finger. Wouldn't it be wonderful thing if they could just grow back that finger again? This body, brothers and sisters, is not being restored right now. Praise the Lord. There's healing. There's restoration that way. But it's aging. That aging process is going on. We're going to die one day. But praise the Lord. What's awaiting us in heaven, brothers and sisters? A glorified body. A restored body. A resurrected body. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a continue. There's all kinds of restoration that the Lord does for us right now and in the future. There'll be that. Right now, our soul has been regenerated. Praise the Lord. Restored. To a right standing with the Lord. A restored relationship. Where there was a break in our relationship, we've been restored to him right now. But right now, our body is longing for that redemption. It's waiting for that eternal restoration that it'll get. Where those of us that were walking like this, woo! We're going to be jumping around like this. Praise the Lord. Those that couldn't walk, wheelchairs, woo! Praise the Lord. You're going to be jumping up and down. Because the Lord is going to put new legs on you. Amen? Amen. Just like that, these animals that put on new things that we're going to talk about here. Praise the Lord. There's an animal called a lemming that looks like a guinea pig. And it puts on new claws. Its claws fall off. They grow back again every year. There's also, you know, the scaly reptiles. The snakes and the lizards. They also shed. You've seen them doing that. Snakes and the lizards. And also, there's the crabs and the lobsters. They also shed. They molt. And what happens is they get to, when they start growing, they can't grow anymore. It's too tight in there. They have to grow out of that, get out of that place. The encyclopedia said that the lobsters and crabs, shells become too tight and they outgrow them. And brothers and sisters, aren't we thankful that we are not where we were when we started in Christ? Yes, we're all equipped in the beginning. We're equipped with a born again soul. We're equipped with regeneration. Then when we go on to sanctification, we're equipped. And the image of Christ is restored. We're brought back to where Adam and Eve were in the beginning without, you know, innocency. Praise the Lord. Amen. But thank the Lord that even there's a continued growing in grace and understanding. And we don't want to go back to where we were a year ago, 5 years ago when we first started in our walk with the Lord. Thank the Lord that we've changed. We've gone through that restoring, reviving process that the Lord brings us through, molting. Praise the Lord. And what happens is that, I've never seen it happen. Maybe y'all have seen it happen. Some of you that are raised around water. It says that, from what I understand in reading, that there's a shell and it cracks open. There's a layer underneath the skin. Liquid layer that builds up underneath, and then the top shell cracks open on the top, and then the blood comes out or goes to the body from the legs, and they shrivel up a little bit, and it all goes to the center of the body. That's why it's able to pull out of the legs, the lobster, like gloves, pulls out, and then it pops out and it comes out. Sometimes a leg gets stuck in there, a hand, whatever it's called, and it gets stuck in there and it falls off. But in the next, when it molts again, it's going to go back again. Praise the Lord. Think of the message the Lord has given us in what he's done in animals, what he does in animals. The molting, restoration. He's telling us, if I can do that with an animal, how much with you, my top-notch creation? Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that his soul who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If he did that for us, and he does it for animals, how much more is he going to do it for us, his top-notch creation. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. He restoreth my soul. Thank the Lord. Some people major in condemnation. But God majors in restoration. Thank the Lord. He specializes in restoration. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." The key is wait upon the Lord. Don't go out and do what you want to do. Oh, I want to marry so-and-so. I want to go do that. No. You wait on the Lord and see if He tells you that's the one for you. Oh, I want to get this job. No. You wait on the Lord and see if that's the one for you. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm going to go do this. Oh, but first I want to wait on the Lord to be sure it's what He wants me to do. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank the Lord. Amen. That word right there, renew, comes from the Hebrew word kalaf, and it means to pierce through or change, alter, sprout, grow up. Does it remind you of those animals we're talking about? What's happening with them? He wants to renew our strength. Do you feel like you're just worn out in your Christian walk today? I mean, I'd like to think that all of you are on the top of the mountain. Maybe you all are. I don't know, but this message has to be for somebody here. Maybe there's somebody here that feels worn out and you feel like you need to be restored, renewed. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean sit down and watch TV and wait on the Lord. No. You get down on your knees and you wait on the Lord and ask Him to help you. You wait on the Lord and He'll tell you what to do and when to do it. You don't have to have that burden of wondering what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. That's carnal. Let's trust in the Lord and He'll tell us what to do and when to do it. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful that we've seen that happen. We wait on the Lord. He soon answers that the prayer, the request that we had. Thank the Lord. It tells us in Isaiah 42, Isaiah 42 and verse 3. I love this verse. Some of y'all might have heard me mention these verses already. A bruised reed shall He not break. Jesus. A bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Amen. A bruised reed. I can just picture in my wife's country, they have a sugar cane, like they do in Hawaii and other countries. And I can just picture a big truck full of sugar cane and one falls off. And I can just picture the man stopping to pick it up. Maybe we got run over by other cars coming or other wagons coming. But he picks it up because it's valuable. You know, that he's worked hard to produce that. It's valuable to him. We're valuable to Jesus. Maybe we've fallen off of the wagon. But he's going to go pick us up again. I love to garden, as some of you know. And I planted gladiolas one year. And they were blooming. I was so busy, they started blooming. You know how they you plant the bulb, and then in the fall, and then in the springtime, they start coming up. And it's real long, long stem. And the top of the stem is a beautiful flower. Beautiful white, orange, red, pink. You know the colors. Beautiful. I love gladiolas. I like any kind of flowers. And anyway, they started falling down like that. So they had suggested when I bought it in the package that to put little sticks and stand them up. Well, I went up there to stand them up, and I was standing them up, and I picked one up. They're kind of crisp, and I picked it up too soon, and I broke it. Oh, I feel so sad because I had cultivated and watered and watched it grow, but it wasn't totally broken. It was bruised broken, like it says there. So I thought, well, I can tape it. I got some scotch tape out, and I got the stick out, and I tied it, and I taped it. You might think that's kind of strange. But it worked. It finished its cycle, and it bloomed, and it stayed alive. You might think that's a little ridiculous, taping a flower, but you know, the Lord has the spiritual tape that we need. Amen. He has it. It's in Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. His grace is abounding. His grace is sufficient. The blood of Jesus can wash any stain, brother or sister. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. I praise the Lord daily. Thank the Lord that He, a bruised reed shall He not break. Has the world bruised you? Do you feel bruised? Did someone say something that hurt you? Did someone do something to you that hurt you? Do you feel bruised? Thank the Lord. A bruised reed will He not break. Thank the Lord. He won't finish breaking it off, it means. He rather wants to restore it, bring it back to what it should be. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful we serve a God like that. Thank the Lord. The smoking flax shall He not quench. don't know what all that means, but you've all seen something smoking. That means it's already basically going out. You know, it's strong, and then now it's smoking. And so, what do you do when something starts smoking? If you have a campfire or you're cooking something, and it's starting to smoke, you add more fuel to it, or you add more fuel to it, and then you fan it back, right? Because you're still going to use that. I believe that's what it's talking about right there. Has the flame of God's love started to smoke in you? This flame of conviction, the flame of commitment. He wants to fan you back again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why you can't miss the meetings. That's where you're going to be fanned. You can't miss your time of prayer. We can't miss our time of reading the Word of God. That's where He's going to fan us back. And we're going to be, woo, we feel encouraged again. I was so discouraged. Woo! Praise the Lord. I'm encouraged again in the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm no longer. Woo! Thank the Lord. He revives us again, restores us. He flames that dying out, smoking flame back again. Are you smoking right now? He wants to fan you back again. So you're burning hot for the Lord. Thank the Lord. He's so faithful. I thank the Lord for Him. This might sound like a very simple message, but I know somebody here needs it. Thank the Lord. It tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Notice it didn't say we saved ourselves. He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, He washed us. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is referring to being born again, regenerated, and then being sanctified, right, brothers and sisters? Thank the Lord. The washing, I just love those verses. Saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. Some of you might have heard me tell this very simple story. There was a two men that were staying as guests in a home, and they went out for a walk. It had rained. And they're walking around, and there was some mud puddles around, and one of them saw, you know, a cup handle sticking out of the water, out of the mud. And he reached down and got it, and it was a cup. It was all filthy, dirty, muddy, you know, slimy. And he picked it up, and his friend said, "Oh, throw that away. It's probably contaminated. It has viruses. Oh, gross. Throw it away." He says, "No, looks like a good cup. I'm going to take it to the home we're staying. I'm going to wash it. I'm going to drink something out of it in the morning." "You're crazy. I'll throw it away," he said. Well, he went outside. So they got through with their walk. He went outside and turned on the water hose outside of the home and washed up the heavy sediment. What does the Bible call the Word of God? It's water. It's water, right? Spiritual water. That's what he did. He washed it outside. He took it inside, again to the sink, filled the sink with water and with soap, with bleach, and washed it again. There's a double wash in there, huh? Yes. And when he got through washing it, just as he got through washing it and drying it, he discovered it was a beautiful china cup. And he said, "I'm going to tell the woman to save it for me in the morning. I'm going to drink decaffeinated coffee out of it." And so she saved it for him. As she was walking in, she didn't know where it came from. He handed it to her and said, "Here, I want you to save this cup for me, and I'm going to drink coffee out of it in the morning." And so she took the cup and walked over here to the china cabinet, where she has all this silverware and crystal and expensive stuff. And she put that cup right there in the center, along with all those other expensive cups, chinaware. And do you get the picture? Isn't that where Christ found us? In the mud, in the sin? Maybe some of us here were raised in sanctified homes, godly homes, but you've sinned somehow. Maybe as a little kid you disobeyed your parents. That's in there with adultery, with fornication, if you read the Ten Commandments. I don't know what you've done. Maybe you've told a little white lie. That's in there, along with adultery, fornication, with murder. We've all sinned somehow. Praise the Lord. Where sin has abounded, grace has abounded. All the more. Amen. Thank the Lord. We've been washed. And then when we're washed, other people that never known us before, how we were before, they see us now and they think, "Oh, you're always an angel, saint with wings and floating around." They don't know where you've come from. Amen? You wouldn't know where I came from. Some of you don't even know where we came from. But thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All you see is a washed china cup. In there, it says in Psalms that he's picked us up out of the dust and set us with the princes of his people. Amen. Thank the Lord. He's taken us out of the dust and set us with the princes of his people. It had nothing to do with us. He did the reaching down. Amen. Of course, we do the reaching up in faith, but he does the reaching down to pick us up and get us out of there. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. If you read of Rahab, you know, she had no right in the lineage of Christ. Later on, she was one of the great grandmothers or something like that of Jesus. Amen? Amen. There's many others in there like that. Yes. If you read that, the lineage of Jesus, some of those women were not good women. They were the cup taken out of the dust. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that there is such a verse, such a teaching that's real. It's not just words. That we were saved, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus that washes. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that uses that blood to regenerate us and renew us. Thank the Lord. let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says there, "For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Verse 16, "Praise the Lord, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," this body, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Thank the Lord. You know, I see God's saints, God's people that have continued with the Lord in their elderly age. They have beautiful spirits. Thank the Lord. They're not, "Oh, I'm just so tired of these taxes." They're not complaining and murmuring. They're just rejoicing in the Lord. They're praising the Lord. They're singing the songs of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just so thankful that there is such a thing as the inward man is renewed. Not one time, not twice, day by day. That's what we're talking about. There's only two works of grace, brothers and sisters. Salvation is combined with regeneration, and then there's sanctification. But there's another kind of renewing that goes day by day. We all need it. Thank the Lord, inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, so if you're feeling discouraged today, rest in the Lord, and tomorrow you're trusting Him. He's going to renew you again. Amen. Thank the Lord. You're feeling burdened down today. You feel like there's no way out of whatever you're in. Just trust in the Lord. Take that little nap in Him. Wake up refreshed, ready to face whatever you have to face in the might of the Lord. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. "Old things are hanging around." No, old things are passed away. "Behold, all things." Oh, no, it just says, it says "all things are become new." Become new. You know, my dad used to be an auto body man, and I used to watch him work on cars and trucks and all kinds of vehicles that they brought to him, and they looked at him, "Can you do anything with this thing?" It had rolled around, and the roof was, you know, smashed all the way in, fender dented, and all kinds of problems. Some things he would have, part of restoration is replacing with new. Sometimes he'd have to take off that old roof and put a new one on, because it was too bad. But the rest of the body, he'd drill holes and pull it out with a metal thing. I don't remember all the names of that equipment. Pull out all the dents, and then he put Bondo and sand it, and then put the undercoat and another coat, and then paint it. When he'd get done, the people would come. They didn't see the process. They just would come, and they'd already see it finished. They'd be amazed. And once that car drove around and others saw it, more people would bring that vehicle to him. Brothers and sisters, are we witnesses? Are we examples of the renewal, of the restoration of the Lord? Or are they just seeing an old, beat-up, dented Christian walking around? Oh, may the Lord cause us to rest in Him and trust in Him that they'll see a new man, the new man, not the old, beat-up, wrecked Christian. Amen? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for renewal and restoration in the Lord. Thank the Lord. It says there, all things are become new. Thank the Lord. You all know about metamorphosis. We talked about molting. Now we'll talk about metamorphosis. When I was young, I used to like to collect worms or caterpillars. And the caterpillar, you know, it reaches a certain stage and they're ready to become a cocoon. You've seen them. They'll climb up a tree and they'll hang upside down. Some will hang up upside down through a thread. You know, the saliva from their mouth, it becomes a little web. And others actually spin like a cocoon around them, and others become a cocoon. There's all different kinds of caterpillars that turn into all different kinds of kapuya. No, the cocoon. Lord help me. Anyway, it turns into a cocoon, and I used to love to watch that. Have you watched a cocoon? Butterfly come out of a cocoon? It's really neat. I've always liked to watch it. You know that caterpillar, it has walked around in the dust. Amen? It's eaten leaves. The caterpillar, when it goes through that metamorphosis and it turns into a cocoon, there's all kinds of things happening inside that you don't know. It's not until it opens up and out comes sometimes a little limb, a little wing. And they say that the blood pumps through the body and that causes the wing to spread out, and then pretty soon it flies away after it dries. And you know what happens to that metamorphosis? Not only does it not look the same, I think maybe the women get here more of a hard rap, or get spoken out against or pushed aside. My wife used to get spoken out against as a young girl. She always wore dresses to her school. She didn't cut her hair. She didn't wear what the other girls wore. And they'd always pick her out. But the guys always liked her. They respected her. But the girls were the ones who were... That caterpillar looks a certain way when it's a caterpillar. It's crawling in the dust and the dirt. It's eating leaves. Amen? But when it goes through the metamorphosis, like it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not only does it not look the same anymore, it looks beautiful. It doesn't eat the same thing anymore. Its appetite changes. Amen? Yeah. That's why when the Lord started dealing with me, brothers and sisters, I was a TV addict. Amen? Oh, I watched Captain Kangaroo from the start of the day, and then the evening I watched the late night shows. I was very addicted to TV, but the Lord dealt with me from Galatians 5, that the work of the flesh is lust and adultery and fornication, all that. That's what I was watching on TV. He spoke to me. I quit watching TV, but I still had it. I was still in my parents' home. I couldn't live without it. I couldn't get rid of it. It was theirs. But I made a promise that when I get out of home, and when I turned 17 or 18, I remember I was buying a mobile home, working as a manager at McDonald's. I started out washing dishes at McDonald's and went up to assistant manager. Anyway, I said, I'm not going to have a TV then. And I didn't, and I haven't. I was 17, 18 then. I'm 46 years old now. Why? Because my appetite changed. Yes. My appetite changed. I didn't want to see those things anymore. Am I still tempted? Yes. We're not superhuman. I'm still tempted by it. But I don't have that appetite for it anymore. Amen? Thank the Lord. Amen? And He can do that for you too. That's your struggle. He can do that for you too. Thank the Lord. The renewing of your mind. Old things are passed away. You're a new creature in Christ. Well, that worm made dust, was crawling the dirt, eating leaves. And now it goes through a metamorphosis. And out of the cocoon comes a butterfly. And now what do butterflies eat? Who can tell me? Nectar. They have a little tongue and they suck the nectar. I don't know all the process of how it happens, but even their appetite changed. Before it ate leaves, now it sucks nectar. I think that's a beautiful... God created that animal, that instinct, that way, to give us an example, to show us what He can do with us. Amen? Amen. Yes, amen. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. We're no longer on the things of this world down here. We're in a higher plane, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord. Amen. We don't have to be partaking of the things that the world partakes of. We don't, and we don't want to. Amen? If you still want to, ask the Lord to renew you. Ask the Lord to cause those old things to pass away. Thank the Lord. And He will change you. Thank the Lord. I'm so happy. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, what more wonderful gift could we ask for, brothers and sisters? We as God's people have the ministry of reconciliation. You don't just have to be called to be a minister. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. The greater responsibility lays on those that he called out to preach the gospel. That's true. But we have all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ. That's why we say that Jesus was God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, God, God the Father was in Jesus. That was Emmanuel, God with us. There's three, but yet there was one. Amen. Thank the Lord. Those three are one. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. How wonderful. The word of reconciliation. All of you, in your home, right now in your laps, you have the word of reconciliation. Better yet, by the Holy Spirit, you have the word in your heart and your mind. Thank the Lord. Don't keep your mouth shut. Don't say, oh, that's the minister's responsibility. All of us have the word of reconciliation that we can share with others. Amen. Thank the Lord. He has committed unto us. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or we're standing as God's ambassadors in Christ's place, saying to the world, we're like Jesus' ambassadors here on earth, crying out to the world, be reconciled to Christ. You know, you don't have a relationship with him. Allow that relationship to be restored. Allow him to restore that relationship with himself, and you will have something wonderful in your life that you've never experienced before. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned, but yet God the Father poured all the sins of all the world on him, so it was like he was sin. That's why you and I can claim the blood of Jesus and put our faith in him, and our sin is taken away. Thank the Lord. That we might be made the righteousness of God. We who were sinners, thank the Lord, have been made the righteousness of Christ. Thank the Lord. My wife and I cleaned houses for about 10 years. And we had a home that we've been cleaning for 8 years. And there was a dog there in that home that they had found. They had picked it up at an abused animal shelter. And they had found the dog, the abused animal shelter had found the dog, the mother dog. She was a short little dog. I don't remember what breed she was, but her name was Misty. They found her tied like with this kind of cord to a tree in the forest, abandoned with a little baby puppy. I think there were more and it had died. Only one was alive. They rescued her, and then, they advertised it. This couple bought her, Misty. And so we got to get acquainted with Misty. In the beginning, she was abused, so she would run away like this from us, and she was really scared. But we gradually, reconciled ourselves to her. We started a relationship with her, meaning, human to dog, and talking to her. Oh, Misty, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, hi, Misty. And she'd go like this. Hi, Misty. And as time went on, I could pet her and feed her, and when I'd call her, she'd come and she'd let me touch her. Well, the owner had asked us to let her out during the day when she needed to use the bathroom outside. And so I did one day, and she came in, and I said, oh, good girl. I got her like this, and I did her ears like that, and I accidentally bent one of her ears. She went, ow, ow, and she ran like this, and she looked behind me like I was going to chase and abuse her. And she didn't trust me again after that. I felt so bad because I love animals. And I thought, well, I guess she's not going to like me again. Well, I started again trying to be reconciled to her, and I said, oh, poor Misty, you poor baby, who hurt you? Oh, I'm sorry, Misty. And talking to her again and trying to feed her. And again, with time, I was reconciled to Misty again. Thank the Lord. And that's the way the Lord speaks to us, brothers and sisters. Yes. Tender, loving, compassionate. Tells us, I'm sorry that happened to you. Can you forgive? I love you. Come over here, my dear, lovely saint. I love you. Come over here. Come over here. Let me hug you. Amen. And gradually he wins us back again and we're restored. You have someone in your family that his relationship or her relationship has been broken with the Lord or never has had one. We're thankful that we have been committed. We've been given the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. We don't major in condemnation. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't become like this world. Don't pattern yourself after this world, after your friends in the world. Amen? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, transformed, metamorphosis, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. We don't have to dress like the world. We don't have to act like the world. They need to act like us. Amen. Amen. We are the light of the world. Amen. If Christ is living in us and through us, and He is the one seen, then they need to act like us. Amen. We don't need to act like them. If we're trying to act like them, brothers and sisters, we don't understand what we have. May the Lord open our eyes. Amen. Thank the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. What? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk. For who is no condemnation? For those who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the power to not sin? No. It has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful for this. The Lord does not specialize in condemnation. He specializes in restoration. Amen. Do we major in condemnation, brothers and sisters? May the Lord help us. You know, sometimes you see people picketing buildings. Maybe it's a big building. It's something that doesn't look right. It could fall. Pieces could fall off and hurt people. And they're outside picketing in the big cities that this building is going to be condemned and destroyed. Then there's other people picketing. No, this is an ancient landmark. Let's restore it and fix it up. Amen? Are we the ones that are carrying that sign? Let's condemn it. Let's condemn her, him. Or are we saying, no, I'm going to call to the Lord to restore him or her. That raunchy attitude can be changed. Amen? Thank the Lord. Amen. There's someone who can restore it. Or we just, look at what he did. No, brothers and sisters. Amen. We don't major in condemnation. By the grace of God, we have the word of reconciliation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Criticism is like mud. Immediate reaction makes it worse. Instead, wait a while and then wipe it away. How many of you have been walking around and mud gets in your pants or in your skirt and you try to clean it right away? What happens? It gets into the fibers of the material and sometimes it's harder to clean. But have you let it dry off? And then you just scrub it a little bit and it's like powder, it comes off? Amen? Do you feel criticized? I sometimes have been. Criticism is like mud. Immediate reaction makes it worse. Do we immediately react when we're criticized? Or we just say, Lord, I'm going to commit it to you. May the Lord help us. I haven't always done that. Instead, wait a while and then wipe it away. Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. there's a man that wrote a book. His name is Bob George. And the book is called Classic Christianity. In the book, he used an example. He was using an example about how we as Christians do not sin any longer. And he used an example that, let's say that you were a rich restaurant owner. And you heard something out in your alley. You're the owner, the manager, everything. You go in the back and you see somebody, a street person, a person that's had misfortunes in life, that has lost everything out there, a thin skeleton, rummaging through your dumpster, through your can. He's trying to find food in there. And you're touched because you're the owner. You have several branches of this restaurant. And you call him inside and you go, you know what? I can afford to feed you every day. I want you to come and eat in my restaurant every day for free. And just imagine that man coming in. And the man says, you show him the buffet. There's whatever it is you like, pizza, mashed potatoes, roast. There's shrimp and crab and whatever it is, like ice cream and cakes and pie, everything you can imagine in this buffet. And the man looks and goes, I can eat anything I want. He says, yes, you can eat anything you want. Well, can I get some stuff out of your trash can inside here? Can you imagine him saying that? No, he would go to the buffet and eat there. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes some Christians are like that man. They say, well, I know I'm saved, but can I still do that? Is it okay to still do that? And when we know it's sin, when we know it does not agree with the Lord? I'm saved, but can I still, is it okay to still do this? We shouldn't be asking that, amen? We should be saying, oh, I'm so thankful. I don't have to rummage anymore through the trash can of the things of this world, the things that the world offers. You don't have to be doing this and doing this and doing this and wearing these things that you can barely move in. No, we as God's people do not have to do that. Amen? Thank the Lord?
Amen.
No, we're not rummaging through the trash can anymore. Amen? Thank the Lord?
Amen.
Yes, amen? Praise the Lord? Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, may we not look at the buffet, the wonderful good things that the Lord offers. Amen? And we may we not say, oh, can I still continue eating from the trash of this world? And brothers and sisters, the buffet is there. We don't need to look at the trash anymore. Amen? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful. The Lord is so good and so faithful, brothers and sisters. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, not after the flesh of things of this world, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Amen? Thank the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Have we been free from the trash of this world? Thank the Lord. If we've been shown that buffet, we've been brought in, adopted in the family of Christ, we are in Christ. We have that buffet every day, brothers and sisters. We have no want. Thank the Lord. He's made me free from the law of sin. Thank the Lord. John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, verse 24. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen? We need to be careful not just judge by what we think, we see. Something else could be happening. We might be getting it all wrong. Amen? Do we major in judgment and condemnation? And someone said that about them, so that's the way they must be. Or do we wait? You know, I found out something, that I don't want to take anybody's opinion about anybody anymore. I want to meet them myself and find out myself who they are, what they're all about. Amen? Because I have found out that most of the times people misjudge others and they don't get it right. So don't do it next time, brothers and sisters. When somebody says, you know what they said about so-and-so, you know what they did. You go, okay, well, maybe they did, but I'm going to get to know that person and find out for myself if it's true or not. Amen? Thank the Lord. You know, when my wife and I were married, we had a godly marriage, wedding. But I did buy these glasses. They were long-stem glasses. And I did buy, sparkling cider. It was apple and grape. And I think we had one or two of those things. And I wanted to drink some during the wedding ceremony, and we did. But those were there. I said, I want y'all to know that this is not fermented wine or alcohol. It's just sparkling cider. Amen? And I poured some, and she poured some, and we drank from it. But later on, some of the saints of the church that we left came to our home. I didn't know this. They were looking at the pictures, and I wasn't there. I didn't pay attention. And they saw us with those long-stemmed glasses, what you would call wine glasses, and they saw what we were drinking, and they assumed that at our wedding, we had served wine or alcohol. And I didn't know this was going on. It went on for 2 years. Finally, somebody said, you know, people are saying that you and Lisette had wine at your wedding. Is that true? And I started laughing. I said, no, we didn't. Well, they had seen the pictures and they had assumed. Amen? Amen? Because they're the kind of people that major in condemnation. Instead of coming up to us and asking us, they assumed it. Oh, may we not do that, brothers and sisters? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It goes the same for our clothing. Sometime back, I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody commented, what are all the shoes and why do you have so much expensive clothing? I looked at my clothing and I laughed and I said, you know where we buy our clothing, Lisa and I? 95% of it? At the thrift store. Amen? Maybe somebody paid for $100 for it, but I don't look at the name brands. If it happens, most of the time I don't even know when it's an expensive name brand, except for the ones that are very common. But I know when I see good quality and I know when $4 doesn't hurt. $4.50 for a pair of pants or for a pair of shirt. Or $7 for a suit jacket, like my wife has sometimes. Amen? So people go, oh, they really misspend their money and they're so worldly. No, we buy our clothing at a thrift store. Amen? Thank the Lord. So don't judge by what you see. You know, we can misjudge. Are we majoring in condemnation, or are we specializing in restoration, brothers and sisters? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. It says in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus, praise the Lord, our Savior, the one who died for us, rose again in the third day. He's coming back for us, brothers and sisters. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at that phrase, light of life. Thank the Lord. I love animals, as some of you might know. Thank the Lord, they're God's creation. Anyway, we're in a home. We entered a garage. That was maybe 15 years ago. And in the garage, they had a little cage, and they had some chicks in it. And there was a little bowl of water. We walked in, and there were like maybe, I'd say, six chicks. One of them had fallen in the water, and I guess its temperature had dropped. It couldn't get out, and it was stiff like this, like that, in the water. And they said, oh, look, a chick died, and we're going to leave. And I said, I looked in there, and when they were looking, I picked it up, and I put it in. There was a heat lamp in there, and I put it in the heat lamp. We went out and walked around. Well, when we came back, instead of five chicks and one dead, there were six chicks, six fluffy chicks in there. Praise the Lord. The light of life. Amen? Do you know some people that are like this? Stiff in their relationship with the Lord and their attitude? Let's bring them to the light of life. Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ, He is the light of life. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. If you don't have confidence in this light of life, you need to ask the Lord to give you that confidence. You don't want to talk to your neighbors, your friends about Jesus because you're afraid they'll turn you down. You forget about yourself. You think about them. They need to be restored. Amen. They need to hear the word of reconciliation. Amen. Because God specializes in restoration, not in condemnation. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was another time we were, this was in my younger years. I'm 46 now. I think I was 23. I was in the ministry of the church that we left. And I would like to play games with the young people. And they were wanting to go outside in the snow to play basketball. So I was playing basketball with them. That would be a time of getting bonding with them, getting to know them so they would open up, tell me their problems, and we could encourage them in the Lord. So I was playing basketball with them outside. And we heard something. There was a wood pile in the distance. There was snow outside. It was a wood pile. And I heard something went, something like that. And I looked over there and I said, I hear something like coming out from that wood pile. They go, oh, our dog was going to have puppies. Maybe she had her puppies. So we went over there and we started taking off the logs, the wood. And underneath was a mother with the puppies. She had had her puppies. But a little distance from her, there was a dead, what looked to be a dead dog like this. Another one. And they said, dogs do that when they know the puppies are sick. They push them away. And she pushed it away because it was sick and now he's frozen. And I said, but maybe if I take it inside and warm it up, it'll revive. They're like, oh, no, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Well, I waited for them to leave. And I went over there and I got the puppy. And I took it inside. They had an adobe home and they had a fireplace. And I put it over, not like a weenie roast, but away from the fire like this. And I moved it like this. And then I put it in my jacket and then I put it again. And it started doing this. Only the head, and I kept on warming it up, and pretty soon it was all fluffy, and it revived again. Now, I don't know if the Lord did a miracle in these two cases, but the light of life. God created that fire, that light. Maybe the heart was still pounding, was ready to step. I don't know. Maybe the Lord, I don't know what He did, but it was revived, it was restored. Thank the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this meeting right here, these meetings that we all have, whether in Juarez or here, or at Guthrie, or wherever each one of y'all meet, that's where that fire is at. Thank the Lord. When you're at work and you start singing the praise of the Lord, that's where the fire is at. Thank the Lord. When you're at work and instead of gossiping, you say, you know what? I've been reading in the book of Isaiah. It's so wonderful. And you share something with them. There's a flame going up and their stiff body begins to go, amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Or do you just pour in more cold air on them? Oh, may the Lord help us. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful for the light of life. I am the light of life, Jesus said. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What would happen, brothers and sisters, if the sun were to blow up? What would happen to the world? There'd be no light. The fields would dry up. Let's say for the pastures would dry up. The cows would die. Pretty soon we'd have no meat. Pretty soon we die. Amen. Because we also need light. Everything depends on light. Amen. Everything in our spiritual life depends on Jesus Christ, the light of life. Are we distancing ourselves from Him? Are we spending more time in the darkness and coldness of the world? Or are we taking time to spend time in front of the light of life? Do we have Him walking by us? And is He in our heart? Thank the Lord. May the Lord help us. Seeds will not sprout in the cold. They must have the sun, the heat of the sun, the light of life. Amen? Thank the Lord. It tells us in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, clearly, the Word of God judges people. And when we speak the Word of God, it is going to judge them. But it's talking about not condemning people. Amen? There's a difference between judging. Oh, I don't want to hang out with him because he does drugs. He might have, you know. That's, we need to judge. But we don't need to condemn that person. We need to tell that person, you know, I'm addicted to Jesus. It's a better high than the high you get. Amen? Thank the Lord? Yes? Amen? Yes? Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. Instead of condemning that person, we need to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. It tells us also in that Luke chapter 6, where the man with had the shriveled up hand. Luke chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Do we find ourselves with something withered today? Verse 7. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether they were the ones that majored in condemnation. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. Verse 8. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Verse 9. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy? Verse 10. And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. 11. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. I don't get it. Jesus was doing good things, restoring people, and they were condemning him and finding fault with him. Are we doing that to others today, brothers and sisters? You better wake up. That's what you're doing. We had better wake up. Amen? Thank the Lord. This man had a withered hand. Most of the, what would you do? You might, if you're a woman, you might want to hide it underneath a fluffy something so nobody sees it. Much less in public, stretch it out so that they could heal it. You'd be too embarrassed. Amen? There's a poem about a little boy that had a toy that was broken, and his dad was the kind that fixed all kinds of things. Maybe some of you have read that poem. And he took this toy to the dad. He was showing him to the dad. Dad, you can fix everything. I want you to fix my toy. He said, okay, well, give it over to me. No, I want you to fix it. I want to keep it, but I want you to fix it. Well, no, you have to give it to me first so I can fix it. Amen? What did Jesus say to the man? Stretch forth thine hand. Amen? Do we tend to just keep it to ourselves and we think we can correct the problem, or do we bring it to Jesus? Amen? Thank the Lord. May He help us. Stretch forth thine hand. If we are keeping it, brothers and sisters, He cannot restore it. If we are keeping our soul from Him, He cannot restore us. We're going to continue being that ugly worm in the dust. Amen? Thank the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. Maybe we have a fully restored body, but there's something in us. Our faith is withered. Our love is withered. Our forgiveness is withered. Amen? Some people have a withered hand because they have their Bibles in their home, but they can't reach out to get it in the morning and open it up to read it. Their hand is withered. Amen? Maybe the Lord wants to restore that hand of you so you can pick it up in the morning and read your Bible. If you can't read in the morning, how about reading in the evening? Amen? That one that did wrong to you and spoke evil to you, your arm is withered. You can't reach out your hand to shake their hand or to embrace them. You need to bring that withered arm to the Lord. He can restore it. Amen? Thank the Lord. He can restore an attitude of forgiveness in your heart. He's done it for me. Amen? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18. Verse 1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he gave up on it. So he said, the challenge is too tough for me? No. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in the hand, in mine hand, O house of Israel. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Thank the Lord. When you have a watch, do you take your that's broken? Do you take your watch to a candy store? No, you take it to the watchman, right? The watchmaker or the man that knows about watches. Amen? Thank the Lord. We know where to take our problems, right? There's only one. Bring it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Thank the Lord. There was once a potter. He was working on clay. He was making a vessel. And some people were watching him. And he had one hand inside, like he does. One hand inside, brothers and sisters. The inside matters. And one hand on the outside. And the potter was working, making the clay, inside and outside, raising it up, making it wider, thinner, and making it. But all of a sudden, he removed his hand from the clay. And they all wondered why he removed it so abruptly. He said, ouch, there was something rough, sharp in that clay. Do you feel like the Lord is removing his hand from you? Could it be that there's some hardness in our hearts? But thank the Lord, we can bring that hardness to the Lord. Yes. I've worked with clay. When I was in high school, I've had some experience of working with clay. And sometimes when it wasn't doing what you could do, and you could take it back again and knock it like this on the table. Bang, bang, back, forth into a square, getting the air out of it again and kneading it and then banging it again. Do you feel you're being banged around a little bit? Maybe the Lord found something in you and he's having to make us again. Amen? Amen. He's having to make again that spirit of forgiveness, because it's spirit of unforgiveness is raising it, rose up again. You can't trust the Lord for your healing? Maybe your trust in the Lord has withered. Amen? He wants you to trust in Him. He wants to make you again. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful. Doesn't that give you hope? And the vessel that He made was marred. It got messed up. It didn't end up being what He wanted it to be. Do we know somebody like that? Amen? So He made it again, another vessel. I love that. How many of you feel encouraged by the verse? He made it again, another vessel. Didn't you do that with Peter? Doubting Peter that was sinking in the ocean, denied him three times, cut off the ear of that man, and so many things that he did. He made it again, another vessel. Thank the Lord. He's done that with so many in the Bible. He can do that with us too. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for restoration, for renewal, for reviving. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, because He is so faithful and so good to do His work when we think that there is no more hope. Let's go to Zechariah. Amen. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3. Remember Joshua, that he was standing before the Lord, and the devil was there to resist him. It says, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's verse 2. It says, verse 3, and now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And God said, take away the filthy garments. Verse 4, I have caused thine iniquity to pass away. I will clothe thee with a change of garment. Thank the Lord. It says there that he was a brand plucked out of the fire. I don't know what all this brand meant, but I can picture a stick and you're turning the fire with it and that stick catches on fire. Have you ever turned a fire with a stick before? That stick catches on fire. You want to keep on using it. What do? You take it out and you put out the fire, don't you? Amen? Some of you have heard me tell about a woman that I knew that had, we're eating in her home. We're sitting at her table and she had this real beautiful antique table. And I was admiring it and I was telling her, complimenting her, what a beautiful table. Where did this come from? And she was telling me it was handed down by her great-grandmother and grandmother and then to her mother and then to her. And she said, well, can you tell where it was burned? I said, no, where? I was looking to see Where was it burned? And I couldn't say anywhere. You mean it was burned? Where? I said. She said, well, it's been restored. And she told me the story. She came home one day. Her house was on fire. The only thing she could think of was that table. So she ran in. This elderly woman ran in. She took off her sweater and she put out the fire off of that table and started pulling it out. Pulled it out and took out the chairs. A big chunk of it was on fire. She put out the fire. Anyway, when it was all said and done, she took it and had it restored. They cut off that burnt part. They added new wood. They glued it on somehow. They sanded what was charred. And it was beautifully restored again. Really, I could not tell where it had been restored. Do we feel like we've gone too far? Messed up too much? That there's no hope for us? There's one who can restore us and make us again. Are we not a brand plucked out of the fire? I mean, thank the Lord. It also tells us in Jude. I love these verses. I like this verse. Some of you have maybe heard me mention these verses. Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. Jude, chapter 1, the only chapter is there. Verse 22, it says, and on some have compassion. Yes. Do you think it matters when you do good things for others and pray for them or call them or visit them and try to tell them a little bit about the Lord? You feel like nothing is there's nothing happening? And of some have compassion, making a difference. Do you want to make a difference? And of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do we major in condemnation? Or do we have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus in us, who specializes in restoration? This verse gives me hope. You know, there's a sister, I won't mention her name, but in our congregation in Juarez. This sister, about 8 months ago, thank the Lord, became a little discouraged. We don't know what happened. She quit coming to the meetings for 3 months. Some of y'all might have heard when we left Juarez. We thought it was all done. When this sister left, and others had already left and gotten discouraged, and there were just new people, we felt so discouraged. We said, well, I guess it's done, finished the work in Juarez. Anyway, events happened that we were returned back by the Lord to Juarez, Mexico, to continue the mission. And I told Lisette, when we came back again, I said, well, we're working with new people. I don't know what the Lord is going to do with these new people, but let's see. I really wonder about this certain sister. And I prayed to the Lord, give me a sign. And I said, if we see her, when we drive by her house, if we see her come out of her house or come out to the street, we'll know I'm supposed to, you know, talk to her again. So we drove by, and sure enough, she was coming out of a friend's house. And so I stopped our old rickety van that we have for our mission work in Juarez. And anyway, we got out of the van, and I said, sister, I said her name. And she came out, and she wasn't very friendly. She was kind of quiet, and she was kind of like, oh, what are y'all doing here? And so we started talking to her in the way that we're talking about here, like I did with Misty. Oh, Sister Maria, how are you doing? We've missed you. And how's so-and-so? And, you know, Lisette and I are thinking of renting a new apartment nearby. And we're wondering if we could rent it nearby here so you could come. And would you come? She goes, yes, I would. Oh, we just felt. It's like that smoldering flame that we fanned again. And it started a little flame coming up again. And you know, this sister has been restored again. Yeah. She's going with us to the marketplace and preaching and to the other homes and preaching. And she's so encouraged. Please pray for this anonymous sister that the Lord will continue to restore her and full strength in the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, this scripture is real. May the Lord help us to not be discouraged with others. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And of others, stay with fear, pulling them out of the fire. This sister had long hair when she left the meeting. She had cut her bangs and dyed her blonde hair. Since then, she has dyed her blonde hair back to her natural color, letting her bangs grow out. Amen. This sister was she was going back to her old self, yelling at her family, yelling at them. Now she's been restored to more patience with her family. Sometimes she has reason to yell. But thank the Lord. The Lord is restoring her in every aspect of her life. Thank the Lord. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus did the restoring. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one as we have Jesus in us, as we have the Holy Spirit in us, As we have His grace in us, through us, God is going to restore others. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Oh, look at you. Look what you've done. That's horrible. Is that the spirit of meekness? Oh, may the Lord help us. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If any brother be overtaken in a fault. Maybe some here have been overtaken in a fault. We hope that tonight you will come forward and ask the Lord. You've been overtaken in a fault. He can restore you. He can restore us again. Amen? Thank the Lord. This word restore in this place in the Greek comes from the word katartizo. And that word means katartizo, to complete thoroughly, to repair, adjust, mend, make perfect, join together. It had to do with mending fishing nets. You know, a fishing net that is torn, it doesn't catch fish. It's useless. It's no longer useful. The Lord wants to restore us to usefulness again in His kingdom. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the gospel is not a gospel of condemnation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of restoration. Thank the Lord. Do we have the equipment to do it? We don't have it. Let's ask the Lord to give it to us. Thank the Lord. Amen. May the Lord help us. Oh, He wants to complete you thoroughly. He wants to restore you. He wants to repair you thoroughly. He wants to adjust you thoroughly. He wants to mend you thoroughly. He wants to make you perfect thoroughly if you aren't already. He wants to join you together, mend you. Oh, I'm so thankful. This is what He wants to do for us, brothers and sisters. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Amen? We are all familiar with the story of the prodigal. The prodigal, the father was rich. Both sons had the inheritance. One said, give me what's due to me. He went off. He wasted his living with a righteous living, with prostitutes. Wasted everything. There was a famine. He found himself eating these pigs. I'm sure he's all dirty, filthy. He's hungry, even wanting to eat the husk the pigs are eating. And he remembers his father. He comes to his senses and he says, in my father's house, there's plenty to eat. And here I'm wanting what these pigs are eating. I'm all filthy and dirty. He doesn't say that, but I'm sure he was. Amen. It says, I will arise and go to my father, and I've sinned against you and against heaven. And when the father saw him a long distance off, it says, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when this is Luke chapter 15, if your hope died, it can be brought again. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. Praise the Lord. There can be a feast in heaven. There can be a celebration in heaven tonight. If you're restored again tonight, brothers and sisters, you don't have to wait for tomorrow or next week or next year. You can be restored again tonight. Amen? Come to the Lord in faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. What if the son had chosen to stay away? Each step in repentance that we take to the Father is a step in restoration of being reconciled to the Father. Where there's been a breaking relationship, each step that you take to the Lord in repentance, He's going to run to you in compassion and mercy. He's waiting to give you the riches of His grace. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord that He's so good and so faithful. The Lord does not major in condemnation. He specializes in restoration. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is alive again. Thank the Lord. We're almost done, brothers and sisters. Please bear with me. Let's go over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. The ministers are the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. Woe be to the ministers of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened, O you shepherds, O you ministers. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again. Look at that. Oh no, they're gone, they're bitter, they're not coming back again. The Lord is saying, neither have ye brought again. Neither have ye brought again, that which was driven away. Those sheep didn't go away because they wanted to. Some were driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all beasts of the field when they were scattered. Oh, may the Lord help us. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains. Amen. When Dennis Warner and those first ministers were raised up in the 1800s, there were sheep wandering all in different denominations and sects. But the Lord started to bring them back. Some of them were your great-grandparents. Some of them were friends of, I don't know where some of y'all come from. Maybe a minister from one of them preached to you and you came to Christ. Maybe you read their writings, you sing their songs, and they're still speaking to you today. Amen? My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every hill, yea, my flock was scattered. They were scattered in every denomination. There's still many scattered today, brothers and sisters. Upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Are we just waiting for them to come here? Oh, may the Lord help us. Let's invite them. Let's go out and call them. So, oh, that's not my deal. Oh, you shepherds that did not strengthen, that did not seek the lost. May the Lord help. We're not condemning anybody here. I don't know. We don't live here. Y'all know that. Only you know if this is applying to you or not. Amen. It says here in verse 11. We're in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Middle part of 12. And I will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloud and dark day. What was the cloudy and dark day, brothers and sisters? False religion. Amen? Cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, says verse 13. Verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel. What is the mountain of Israel, brothers and sisters? The church of God, Mount Zion. Amen? Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. Amen. Thank the Lord. Aren't we thankful to be in the fold? I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Who can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Who can say praise the Lord?
Praise
thank
the Lord.
The Lord. Are we at a funeral? Yes, Jesus did die, but what happened to him after 3 days? He rose. Praise the Lord. Let's rejoice. Amen. It says here in verse 16, I will seek that which was lost. I will seek that which was lost. I don't know what might have caused this little sheep, a real sheep, to disappear. Maybe it saw something that attracted it, and the shepherd went on with the sheep, and maybe it saw a butterfly and it started falling or something. Pretty soon it went out the wrong direction and it was lost. What does a good shepherd usually do in that case? He counts the sheep, and he knows when a sheep is missing. Amen?
Amen.
Thank the Lord that even though the ministers might be frail, but Jesus, the good shepherd, he's on the job. Amen? Thank the Lord. He's our good shepherd. But we're the under shepherds. Amen. I will seek that which was lost. Oh, it doesn't say wait till it comes to you. I will seek that which is lost. You know what I appreciate about the people in Mexico? They've never seen the saints here. They don't drive in cars. A lot of them, they drive in buses. There's a young girl. She just gave her heart to the Lord. And she's been going. She's only 17 years old. She's on fire for the Lord. She's made so many changes in her life. If you saw her, the before and after, you'd wonder what happened to this girl. She just loves the Lord. She loves the meeting. She loves to sing the evening light songs. She sends greetings to Sister Maxine and to the congregation here. She doesn't know much about it, but we put up the pictures of you all from Monarch and other places. And she's seen the Salis, their family. She's seen them on our wall there at the meeting place. And many of y'all here, your pictures are posted up, those of you that have sent us pictures. And they've seen your picture, thank the Lord. And she's willing to go with us to look for the lost. One day, she has a little one and a half year old son. We're not the Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't get us mixed up, okay? But anyway, we decided that where we're having the meeting home, the chapel, the meeting place, we decided we'd go knocking door to door and invite people. And you know what she did? She had a little buggy, a little stroller for a child. And for 2 hours, she pushed a little buggy, the 17-year-old young woman, the new saint in Christ now, with her one-and-a-half-year-old son. And the son, she wasn't complaining. She was excited. Oh, we missed that house, she would say. And we'd knock, and sometimes she'd pray with people. Sometimes we'd tell them, oh, here's the meal. Some people don't want to listen. That's true. That's okay. But there's some people that are hungry and looking for truth. Amen? Some people came from that meeting, and some people are still coming from that one time that we did that one day. We're doing it a different way. Sometimes we hand out flyers. Sometimes we preach and invite people. Some might sing, and then we say, please come to, we give the name, the address of the place, the time, and then Seth will sing some more. I'll preach in between, and then Sister Brenda, the young girl, will preach, or Sister Maria will testify. And this is a busy market, outdoor place, and people are hitting us like that and walking, and they're going by, and people are listening. We might think that they're not, but they are. Many people have come from the marketplace and listened. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. It says there, I will seek that which was lost. Are we seeking? I will seek, ye who are spiritual, restore. I will seek that which was lost and bring again. Bring again, that implies that they were there, they were here, now they're gone. And bring again that which was driven away. Oh, I know we're humans. We still have our humanity. The carnality might have been taken out. We might be sanctified. Praise the Lord, thank the Lord. But we still have our humanity. We still make mistakes, we still say things, we still act a certain way, and maybe we drove some people away, I don't know. And bring again that which was driven away. Can we humble ourselves to say we're sorry? Can we humble ourselves and say, you know, I know you don't agree with that, but let's sit down and talk about it. Let's pray about it. I don't know. And we'll bind up that which was broken. I will bind up that which was broken. When something is broken, like I said, brothers and sisters, it loses its, it's no longer usable. It loses its, I can't think of the word, its purpose, its usefulness, because it's broken, it's limited. The Lord wants to restore our usefulness. He wants to make us useful in His kingdom, productive. Thank the Lord, amen. And I will bind up that which is broken. Many things in your home get broken. What do? Your car gets broken? Do you throw it away? No, you take it where it can be restored. You might need a new part. You might need somebody that can specialize in that restoration. You take it to them. How much more the souls of those around us, brothers and sisters? I will bind up that which is broken and will strengthen that which was sick. There's many spiritual people that are sick. Many in the world that are sick with the things of this world. How many of you have been sick in bed and you've been so thankful that somebody brings you liquids and a soup and they pray for you and they keep you warm? Aren't you thankful for those that strengthen you when you're sick? I am. I'm thankful. My wife has had to do that for me. I've had to do it for her. She can't drag out of bed. I have to do something for her. And then she's done it for me. I still said, I can't move. Can you bring me the pen from over there? And she goes and brings me the pen. Amen. Thank the Lord. And I will strengthen that which was sick. Thank the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful, brothers and sisters, that there's one that can strengthen, heal, restore. Amen. We're almost done. It says in Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. This is God saying, how shall I give thee up? Oh, how shall I give thee up? Do you think the Lord just wants to give people up when they become rebellious? For God so loved the world? Oh, He doesn't want to give them up. Sometimes we do. We go, I'm fed up. This is the 15th time we give them another chance and I'm tired of it. Maybe the Lord needs to restore our attitude. Amen? Make us spiritual people. Ye who are spiritual, restore. Amen? Oh, may the Lord help us. How shall I give thee up? Do we have that attitude about others when they're discouraged and they're leaving? How shall I give thee up? How shall I give thee up? Yes. Oh, how can I give thee up? We heard about a minister's meeting, and this man, this brother said, "How I can't give up my brothers and sisters." Amen? May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters, to cry and weep for those that have gone away. May the Lord... Yes, they might be rebellious. They might have false doctrine. the Lord can restore again the withered. Amen. Thank the Lord. We've seen it done in Juarez, Mexico. I've seen it done through years past. Ye who are spiritual, restore. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. I hope when you leave here the next day, when we can do it tonight, get on the phone, write that letter, pay that visit, write that encouragement. I want to say something real quick. As a young Christian, I was a part of the church that we left. That was all the light I had, and I was walking in all the light I had. I was only serving the Lord for about not even a year. I was, maybe it was more than a year, but I think it was 2 years. And that's when I started working at McDonald's. That was my first real job. And these saints had encouraged me from the church that we left that had false doctrine. They were encouraging me to get this work because we needed help in our family. And so I went to the place where they're hiring, and I got the job. And when I got the job, I told them that I wanted Sunday off and I wanted Wednesday evening off so I could be in the meetings. She gave it to me. But as time went on, they got busy and she started putting me on Wednesday nights and then she started putting me on Sundays. This went on for a month and a half. And I didn't want to say anything because I needed the job, the work. Anyway, there was a sister in that congregation where I met in a home. She wrote me a little letter. And she said, Tony, we feel so bad that we told you to get the job. Now you're missing the meetings. We really miss you. We really miss you. She didn't say a whole lot. I saw that letter. I saved it. That's all it took to jar me back into reality. I found out that I was missing something. I was being missed. Amen? Do you miss those that have gone away? Write them. Call them. Amen? Thank the Lord. When somebody misses the meeting, do you write them a little note? Tell them we missed your part in the meeting. We missed your whatever it is they do in the meeting. Your song, your prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. How shall I give thee up? To conclude, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the gospel according to John. We are all familiar with these verses also. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice it says, he takes it away, the branch, and then he purges it, cuts off some stuff. We all know these things. It's an example. How many of you have roses? What do you do to roses so they bloom more and grow more? You cut them. You prune them. Sometimes I have not cut my roses very much because I feel like I'm hurting them. Oh, I don't want to cut too much. I just cut them a little bit. But sometimes when you cut lower, have you ever done that? Cut them real low? Some just abundance of new growth or new blooms will come out. You'll be shocked, surprised. You'll go, why didn't I do it more sooner? Amen? Are you asking the Lord, purge me? Take away that is no good in my life? Or you're saying, oh, I don't want to let go of it. Ask the Lord to take it away. You be willing to take it away. You be willing to separate yourself from it, whatever it is. Allow the Lord to purge you and prune you. And watch the abundance of bloom that you will have. Not just flowers, but fruit too. But you do the same thing for fruit. I had some 4 o'clocks. Some seeds that I propagated and brought from where we lived. And I planted them now where we live in that desert barren land of El Paso, Texas. And I planted them and they grew. And every year they get these worms. And they look horrible. You know how 4 o'clocks, those of you that know what 4 o'clocks are, they bloom a certain flower. And the worm eats it and leaves it all looking ugly and like horrible. Well, this year I decided to cut them down. They look so ugly. I cut them down. Well, I didn't know. Maybe some of you don't know. If you cut them down early, they'll grow back again and bloom again the second time. And it's like, it was like a brand new plant. This worn out plant, by me cutting it down, was totally restored again. And it's blooming again, the 4 o'clock. They look beautiful again. Don't be afraid to be purged. Don't be afraid for the Lord to tell you it's time to cut that thing off. It's time to cut off that attitude. It's time to cut off that time-consuming thing that's keeping you from me. Oh, may the Lord help us. You're going to say, why didn't I do it sooner? When I returned back to the meeting, I was so thankful. That's the only time that I've ever missed meetings. Whether it's been there or here. We're faithful in Juarez all the time, or in our home having the meeting. Whatever the case is, we don't miss it. Oh, brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us. Thank the Lord. He restores my soul. Thank the Lord. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. He's good and He's faithful. He wants to take that cup out of the mud, set it in the China covenant, along with the princes of His people. Just like those animals molt grow new wings and new feathers and new legs and new. Some of them grow new eyes. The crabs, if their eye gets knocked out, a new eye will grow back. Did you know that? Some of the lobsters, when they molt. He wants to restore us again, spiritually speaking, brothers and sisters. And on that day, we'll receive the final restoration, new bodies. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord does not major in condemnation. He specializes in restoration. Thank the Lord.